So, Caroline, thanks a lot for coming today. Once again, in this gorgeous, gorgeous setting at the Niramaya Resort in Trivandrum, in Kovalam, actually. I want to start by, you know, we've now been talking now for, what, over a year now?
Yeah.
And you've been doing a lot of interesting stuff. So, you've been the guide for a lot of the initial clients that, you know, Leela Life has worked with. Tell me a little bit about that experience. How has it been for you?
It's really been a wonderful experience so far because I've had the opportunity to interact with people who are doing so many different things and they're so passionate and successful at what they do. And I feel like there's something that they're seeking, maybe some small change in their life that they can incorporate that would help them be better at what they do.
Right.
So I've learned a lot through these interactions and I really enjoy having them.
Perfect. Perfect. So what are some of the things that therefore now are sort of questions in your head or doubts that you want to clarify? This is a good occasion. Feel free to ask.
Sure.
We can have a conversation on that.
Yeah. So one thing is we hear a lot about health, wellness.
Right.
But where does this concept of Indic well-being and this Indic knowledge fit in?
Got it. No, that's a very good question. I get asked that question also quite a lot, by the way. So I think, what is the Indic knowledge of well-being? So there are two big questions, words in that, Indic and well-being, right? So Indic, I explain to people, typically means knowledge, or Indic knowledge typically means knowledge that was produced by the Indian civilization in ancient times, right? That has stood the test of time for a long time. So that is what Indic means. Indic refers to all of that knowledge from ancient times produced by the Indic civilization, Indian civilization. Let's come to a more interesting word, which is well-being, which is typically a word used sometimes as well-being, sometimes it interchangeably with wellness and with healing and with health. I mean, so there's no clear difference between all of these, right? But the fact of the matter is, when you think about it and when you go back into the knowledge, these are all distinct ideas and very different ideas. So let's talk about what well-being is by first understanding what it is not. And that will give us a good sense of what it is. So let's talk about healing, which is one, or healthcare. Now, what is that? That means that there is first a problem, then, and that problem is called illness. So you have a problem of some illness, some disease. And then you go to find some intervention that will help you solve that problem. And solve means that problem goes away, that illness goes away, right? So problem, intervention, solution. Illness, treatment, no illness. So that is healing, right? So typically when you go for medical care, that's what you're really doing, saying, okay, I've got this bronchial thing, whatever it is, and you know, you go to a particular doctor, they give you whatever, and then hopefully you get better. Then there is something called wellness. It's a big word today in the world, you know, the wellness industry is worth a few trillion dollars. What is wellness? Wellness actually does something very similar to what healing does, which is it starts with a problem, it gets into an intervention, and hopefully if everything works well, you have a solution, which means that the problem goes away. The difference between healing and wellness is the nature of the problem. So in healing, you're solving for illness. In wellness, you're solving for imbalance. So there's a difference between imbalance and illness. So imbalance is stuff like, for example, chronic inability to sleep. It's not an illness, but it is an imbalance. One of the interesting things about an imbalance is if you leave an imbalance unaddressed, it will eventually end up in disease, right? So it's a stage before that. So imbalances. So you find those imbalances, then you find a system to intervene. And then hopefully if everything goes well, you don't have that imbalance anymore. Now this is what it is. Well-being, on the other hand, is not about this whole problem, intervention, solution paradigm at all. That's the big difference. So what is well-being about? Well-being is about saying that you want to live in a different kind of state. You know, where the state of living, where you're living, the way you live itself is so different or different from how you've done it, so that you don't have these problems in the first place or it becomes much lesser. So, you know, the imbalances also reduce, the intensity of the imbalances reduce. When that reduces, the possibility of diseases reduce. and all of that, right? So it's not a problem intervention solution paradigm. It is a change of state paradigm.
Hmm.
Which means what? Which means that there is no specific problem you are trying to solve. You are looking at the state and saying, in what manner should I alter my the ingredients of my state such that I get into that new state?
Okay.
And that is about essentially at its root changing your lifestyle or altering or tweaking your lifestyle, not dramatically changing your lifestyle. In most cases, it is not.
Mm-hmm.
It is normally about tweaking your lifestyle, but knowing exactly how to do it is what the game is all about. So that's what we do, and that's how well-being is different from the other two.
Wow, that sounds really, really powerful. And you also mentioned that this Indic knowledge comes from our ancient civilizations.
Right.
So how do we make that effective in today's time and for modern times?
Correct. So that's again a very interesting question, because if we can't make it effective for modern times, then all this knowledge essentially becomes a waste or sometimes counterproduct.
Mm.
Because sometimes you use something and you know it's not well aligned to today, it can actually become counterproduct. So let's look at that, right? So one is we have to understand something about this knowledge. So when we say we are giving you Indic knowledge, the word knowledge is important, because normally when you take something from an old civilization and transport it to a new place, the temptation is to transport or transmit culture, which is often a fallacy. It's a mistake. And the reason for that is that in all culture, there's actually one part which is the actual essential knowledge, which will apply irrespective of which culture it is taken. So take yoga, for example. Now, yoga is used in the Indian culture in so many contexts, in dance, in music, in religion, in therapy, in so many things.
Yeah.
But the underlying knowledge of the human being and what it does when you do certain things is the core knowledge of yoga, which applies whether you apply it in Norway or Nigeria or wherever, and whichever part of the world you go and apply it, it is equally applicable, because that knowledge is independent of culture. It is the root knowledge. And so what we are trying to do, and what I have done for a very long time now, is to find and go deep into a place where you are able to cross that point of culture and find the knowledge.
Okay.
And then extract that knowledge and then take it out into the world. So you're essentially looking to take that knowledge into the world. And that knowledge is actually what we bring to the world to use. You know, so that's a very big difference in how we see this. Sorry, what was the other part of your question?
The other part I wanted to know was mainly how you bring it and make it more effective.
Effective for a contemporary. So one part is that we are essentially doing the knowledge which is independent of culture. What does that mean? It now applies across the board, independent of culture. Now the question is, okay, now if it's independent of culture, how does it apply to today?
Hmm.
And the answer to that is that you have to spend a lot of time focusing on which aspects of this knowledge are relevant for today. So there are various aspects of knowledge. Some of it is relevant for today, some of it is not relevant for today. So that curation of figuring out which aspects should you focus on so that you can address the needs of today is another exercise which we've done over the last many years. And so this combination of making it work across cultures and a big focus on saying how sift between things that are valuable for today versus those are not.
Mm.
This combination of these two efforts is what produces something that becomes extremely relevant when you take it to a lawyer in New York or an investment banker in Shanghai or a you know, commodities trader in Hong Kong, right? That's how it becomes effective.
And how does one get access to this knowledge, and how is it going to impact their lives,
yeah. So this is very interesting, because the Indian knowledge, this Indic knowledge, is actually a very vast treasure.
Mm.
So one of the big challenges about that knowledge is the problem of riches. There's too much of that knowledge. So for you to figure out what of that knowledge is actually relevant for me today in my life is actually the central problem. Once you've discovered that this riches exists, how do I take it? You know, you can do, you know, whatever sesame, open sesame and it opens. But then there is, you know, what can I pick up? So that's what we have as Leela Life. So what we've put together is a framework that enables you to figure out which of those riches are relevant for us, for each of us in our daily lives. And that's a very unique framework that we've developed that enables you to say, okay, what I need to focus on is eating fresh, bringing spirituality into my life, and finding a way to appreciate beauty through art. This combination is what will put me on this path to well-being. That stuff we tell you. We work with you to use our framework to find this out. Once you know this, you then know, okay, which parts of that treasure should I be going into and looking at it? And then you can, for the moment, ignore the rest.
Okay.
And just focus on that. So that's our role. Our role is to help you, A, discover the riches, and to give you a framework to access the riches in a manner that makes the most impact on your life.
Okay.
And that's the difference. That's actually the value that Leela Life brings to it. The riches have their own value. The knowledge has its own value.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not accessible till you get this knowledge which sits on top, which is the method that Leela Life gives.
Hari, if you could help us understand the word joy and what it means a little more.
Okay. So joy, you know, in the Indian system, the ancient Indian system, the Indic system, actually has a meaning quite different from, you know, what joy the word evokes in us in a modern context. What does joy evoke in us, right? So if you go to any part of the world today and say, you know, just drop the word joy, what does it actually mean to most people? What does it evoke? It typically evokes, you know, some extreme, exuberant happiness or exuberant something, right? That's not what the Indic system says is joy. Indic system says that joy is actually a state where you engage with life with the same degree of intensity, irrespective of the emotions that you're going through or the circumstances that you're going through. Your intention to engage and your actual engagement with life is the same, the intensity. Not the nature, because of course emotions will affect you and all of that, but the extent to which you are engaged with life is the same. So I give an example of that. Let's say this is actually something that happens to all of us all the time, which is when we wake up in the morning. So on some days when we wake up in the morning, we know that today is going to be a good day for whatever reason, right? You know, it's going to be a good day. So it shows in our engagement with that day, right? So we jump out of bed, we, you know, everything we do with more vitality and more vim and more vigor and all of that. And the reverse is also true. So on some days, you know that today is not going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And what is our most common response to an emotion that today is not going to be a good day? We get up late. So essentially what happens is we shrink from or go backwards from our engagement with life because of the emotion we are feeling, or we go forward in our engagement of life because of the emotion we are feeling. It's not uniform. Joy is a state which allows you to have a uniform engagement with life irrespective of the emotion that you feel. So that's an interesting thing. And there's another also important thing is that joy is a state. Because people often ask me this difference between joy and happiness. Which is another question that I get asked a lot. And so joy and happiness, the difference is this. Happiness is an emotion. And like all emotions, it comes and it goes. So it's transient.
And today, it's based on something.
It's based on events and it's based on various things. But the most important point is that you're right. The locus very often of emotion is outside you. Something else is happening and that results in that. Need not be always the case, but it's often the case. But it's transient. I think that's the most important thing. Sometimes you're happy, then you'll become unhappy, then you'll become angry, then you'll become... And in a day, you know, we have so many emotions. Joy is not transient because it's a state. So it's your... And like a state means it's where you are at, right? And so that's a big difference in joy. So in the Indic system, joy is what you should get to so that your ability to engage with life and your intention to engage with life and therefore your engagement with life is not affected by the intensity of your engagement with life is not affected by your emotions or the circumstances that you're passing through. So it's a very profoundly different idea. And there are many words in Sanskrit for that. And you know, that's the beauty. You know, one of the things I on an aside, I'll tell you something, that in any civilization, if you want to know what are the important ideas of the civilization, you have to find out words, concepts for which there are multiple words.
Okay. So it's used more commonly.
Used in a more nuanced way.
Okay.
So, you know, for people, the native Inuits who live in the north, in the Arctic, apparently there are many words for the color white.
Yeah.
In Sanskrit, there are many words for the word joy, for what we would normally call joy. There are most nuanced words for joy.
And thanks for explaining it so beautifully. How does Leela life come in, and what does Leela really mean?
Leela is one such word.
Okay.
Leela is one such word in Sanskrit to describe a particular nuanced idea of joy. In fact, so Ananda is one word. There are many words. Ananda is kind of a more blissful idea of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Leela in particular refers to playful joy.
Okay.
Which means that you are in a state of constant engagement with life irrespective of emotions, and the way in which you engage with life is slightly playful.
Okay.
It's very profound. It's very profound when you, because once you start to experience that idea that life need not be taken so seriously, independent of what is going on in your life. Some of it is very heavy stuff and serious stuff and all of that, but your engagement comes from a state of Leela, which is a wonderful state to get to. So Leela life's promise to to the world it's going to is that we can hopefully help you transit to not just a state of joy, but a state of playful joy, which is what Leela is.
That's lovely. And what is the, if you could explain to us the method, or what are the steps that a person typically goes through to attain this state of Leela?
Got it. Yeah. So there's a very structured system for this, right? So this has taken us a long time to understand and go deep into the Indic system, look at multiple types of knowledge streams. You know, Indic system, because it's so old and because it's so rich, has many, 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 many streams of knowledge.
Yeah.
So yoga is one enormous stream of knowledge. But just when you thought yoga is a big stream of knowledge, you realize that yoga is a small stream of knowledge in the larger stream of knowledge called Tantra, and so on and so forth. There are many streams of knowledge. So we have to look at all of that. And having looked at all of that, we have now come up with a very specific system to go through to get to this, to know what you should be doing or bringing into your life to get into the state that we are talking about, the state of well-being, the state of joy, state of you. That's so the central premise in that whole thing is saying that the way to get to that is to lead what is called an aligned life.
Okay.
What does an aligned life mean? An aligned life simply means a life that is as close as possible to who you truly are.
Answering the question, who am I?
Answering the question, who am I? Which of course is a difficult question often, because if I say lead a life as closely aligned to who you truly are, it's actually not an answer. Because then the question is, who am I? And how do I find out who I am? And all of that. And what does who am I mean? And so on and so forth. There are many questions that come up.
Yeah.
So Indic system, and this is one of the beauties of the Indic system, is that if you go deep into it, you'll realize that it's an intensely practical system. It never leaves you with these high level questions and not go deeper. It actually goes deeper and makes it very intensely practical. So the practical answer to that is, who am I is not a metaphysical question. It is a very real practical question. Simply says, what are my innate qualities? And you need to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, what that means is that the Indic system assumes and says that each of us has some unique combination of qualities that are deeply innate to us, we came with.
Okay.
Now, the progress of life will influence us. New qualities will emerge. Some we will drop on the way, all of that. That's the experience of life. But what is innate to us remains. Sometimes what happens is the experience of life makes us not recognize our own innate qualities, because they get, you know, subdued and other things take place and so on and so forth, right? But we have innate qualities. So the job that we have in order to get to that point of well-being is simple. just find out what our qualities are and make sure that you lead a life that is as closely aligned to that as possible. So the more, and once you start to lead a life that is aligned to your qualities, everything becomes easy.
Okay.
Because you are leading the life of who you truly are.
Mm.
And so one of the things that it does, for example, is it makes decisions very easy. Mm-hmm. Or things that require to be decisions today stop being decisions because it's instinctive, it's intuitive.
Mm.
Because you just are doing or acting in the most natural way that occurs to you because you are in touch with who you are, your innate qualities. And so you just do that. So that is why, so innate qualities and figuring out how to lead a life that is aligned to innate qualities is the job. So one is how do you find, therefore there are two things. How do you find your innate qualities and how do I find out what aspects of my life are not aligned to my innate qualities, right? So once you find out that, then the rest can follow.
Yeah.
And so there is a whole system for that and we can talk about that.
Mm. Yeah. And so you mentioned that the innate qualities are ones that we are born with. So is it possible for someone to develop a quality or what is your take?
Yeah. So not only possible, but we develop many qualities in life.
Yeah.
The difference is they are not innate qualities.
Okay.
So the innate qualities are the qualities that fundamentally define you. And the qualities that the experience of life brings to us are at a relatively more superficial level in our things. Because it also happens that the qualities we acquire sometimes, we drop also sometimes later. Mm-hmm. And new ones replace them and so on and so forth. So that's a constant process. That's a constant process. I keep giving the example, right? You come back, you're 4 years old, you've come back from school and your mother pats you on the back because she said you did this.
Mm.
Its translation to you is that you recognize something to be good and then that starts to become ingrained into you as a quality. Because she will say, oh, you were good because you were on time.
Mm.
So now being on time starts to become relevant and important for you. And over time, if that gets reinforced, it becomes one thing that's added on to your... So those kind of things keep happening. So you have qualities and they keep changing over life. But the important qualities for you to understand are your innate qualities because they don't change. And they are central to you. And once you are in touch with your innate qualities, it's very easy to navigate life because it goes back to who you truly are.
That's wonderful. So you're saying that aligning oneself to their innate qualities are the best way to really flourish rather than working on the environment or other factors around you. Because I think that's the general tendency to work on things around so that it works out for the individual and then think about the individual.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Actually, there are two points at that. One is, yes, we are working on ourselves. See, first of all, what happens in this great world around us is completely beyond our control after a point, right?
Mm.
Some limited things we have control. But so many things are happening, right? We are sitting here. The other day, and I must tell you the story, the other day I went to meet a old family friend who's past 90 years and I go once in a while to meet him just to keep company, my dad's friend. And I've been to that house hundreds of times. So I walk in the other day to that house. And as I walk in and open the gate, I feel like somebody has taken this enormous stick and hit me at the back.
Mm.
I just feel crushed and I'm just getting into that. You know what has happened? The coconut has fallen from a coconut tree and has missed my head by this much distance. It's fallen here.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to say is that we have no control on events, right? Things happen. The environment happens. Therefore, if we allow the environment to become the determinant of that, it becomes difficult. So it has to be inside. But the question is, how do therefore we engage with the environment?
Mm.
The environment will happen, right? The coconut will fall, various things will happen, all that will happen. So how do we engage? You have two choices. You can engage without knowing who you are.
Mm.
You can engage in a much more natural way being aligned to who you are. That's the point. So the world will happen. And if you know how to engage with the world in a way that is much more natural to who you are, everything becomes easy.
Mm.
That's the point.
And also coming back to your point on joy, so does success bring joy on some level?
The experience is that success actually doesn't give you joy.
Okay.
One of the interesting, there is no reason for success not to give you joy, but it is one of the interesting things that one can see in today's world is that it seems to be the case that it almost seems to be the case that if you have success, you won't have joy.
Okay.
And that's exactly the problem that is people are facing, right? So they've chased success, they've gone after it, they've got it.
Mm.
Success in a professional sense, in a material sense, in a social context, all of that they've got. And then they suddenly say, okay, you know, I don't have something. I don't even know what I don't have, but I don't have. Yeah, there's an emptiness, right? What I call the hole in the heart. I don't know. So the challenge is, how do you have both success and joy at the same time? That's actually the challenge. And the Indic knowledge system actually says that not only can you have that, but it's actually the natural place for the human being to have both success and joy. In whichever way you define success.
Mm.
The reason you don't have the two together is because you actually don't have the knowledge required for you to make that happen.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a very simple word in Sanskrit called avidya.
Mm.
And it's said in many places saying that not avidya means knowledge. So, avidya means not having the knowledge. Mm. So, not having the knowledge is all there is.
Mm.
So, if you knew that, it would come together. So, this great misery that we see in the world of success but being empty because of at the end of success is simple to be solved. And we can solve with a little bit of knowledge. And that's what we are actually trying to do. So to come back to your question, joy can coexist with success. Very often it does not. And to help you make that coexist is what we are about.
Okay. If you could help us understand that bit a little more on how Leela Life comes in and a little more about the well-being blueprint,
right?
What that does, because from my understanding, this is a way for them to bridge this lack of knowledge or avidya with the required knowledge of themselves that
can use. Correct. So we talked about innate qualities, right?
Yeah.
So, and we said the way to get to this is to lead an aligned life. So we said there are two or three components to that. One is you need to know who you are, which means what are your innate qualities. Then you need to look at what are the circumstances that exist in your life today. Then you have to map the two together and say which of those circumstances are resulting in some of these qualities not being able to flourish.
Mm.
So some of your innate qualities are flourishing, but some of them are not flourishing. So once, and that's a process that we help you to go through. So we will help you identify what your innate qualities are. We will work with you to articulate what your current circumstances of life are. We will then compare the two and then say, you know what, given this circumstance, we can see that this innate quality of yours is getting suppressed and is not getting the space to get flourished.
Okay.
So that we can help you. And then on that basis, say what you should do. So typically when you have that, what should you do? You have two choices. One, you can change the circumstances of your life, which is creating that problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Alternatively, if you say, I don't want to change the circumstance or I can't change the circumstance for now, whatever, then we will suggest you alternate things that you can bring into your life that will help you flourish that thing. So essentially, all of this is a simple proposition of tweaking your lifestyle such that you can increase alignment. Either change some circumstances of your life, or if you can't do that, bring in certain other elements into your lifestyle so that you are increasingly starting to get aligned, which means that those qualities that are not flourishing get an opportunity to flourish. So this is the overall superstructure of what we... So it's a structured process.
Okay.
So step one of that is getting to know your innate qualities. Step two of that is mapping that to the actual circumstances of your life. Step three of that is saying, okay, now that we have found out the gaps between the two, developing a program that says, okay, what should I do because this is there, and so on and so forth. This is the structure. This articulation of a strategy or a path to well-being is what we call a blueprint, which is really your blueprint to well-being, your, you know, vision and plan to get to that well-being. It's a very powerful thing because 99.9% of people don't have such a plan.
Mm.
So it's an approach. It's a thing. So, beautifully done. So that's what blueprint is. And then, of course, in that, there is detail of how we do the, each of the, how we find out your innate qualities and so on. We can discuss that. But this is the larger thing of what the blueprint does.
Okay. And it's unique to every person.
Each individual. Because the qualities are different. The circumstances of life are different. And therefore, the program that we develop. So, I keep saying this, right? In Leela Life, when we have a million clients, we have a million programs.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not that we sell one program and everybody fits into that.
Yeah.
We are not selling a program. We look at the human being and craft What is relevant for that human being?
Okay. That's incredible. I think it's very different from the one size fits all approach.
Correct. 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 Even in the index, by on that, you know, even in the index system, there are sometimes people say, do this particular practice and everything will be solved. We don't believe. We said that's not what the knowledge says. Sometimes these practices are incredibly powerful and they do solve a lot of things, but not everything.
Yeah.
And therefore, a bouquet of things that are carefully tailored for you is what we should go after, and that's what we need.
And what you mentioned, this one point about this bouquet or the combination of these different practices, is that going to help us reach a certain goal faster rather than, like you mentioned, one practice that's prescribed and we do it?
In fact, this is a very interesting point, because in the Indic system, there are actually two paths. There is what is called the mastery path or the ascetic path. And then there is the householder path. This is very interesting. I mean, you have to go a little bit deep to sort of recognize these differences in the Indic system. So the householder path is saying that, you know, you have a life. You are doing something, you know, you can't become a master of one thing because you are now going to focus the purpose of your life to that. You could do that. You could do that. You can say, I'm going to go into meditation for the rest of my life, and I'm going to, through meditation, reach the greatest of things. It's possible. So if you take a Tibetan monk who goes to a monastery in Tibet, that's what they do. They say they go in at the age of 3 or 4. And when at the age of 45, you know, 4 decades later, they have reached mastery. That does transform and take them to a place of joy. But it's an intense process of your life being entirely about that for almost the entire time of your life. So that's the process of mastery. Very, very, very much, it can be used to get to this thing, but tough to do. Tough to do in the context of a normal life that we all have. So that's called the householder approach. Okay. So in the householder approach, you want to achieve the same thing. And one of the methods to achieving that is to find a combination of different things that work together in a powerful way.
Okay.
So you pick something from yoga, you pick something from food, you pick something from something else. And there is a particular logic of that combination that makes it incredibly powerful. And you can seamlessly integrate that into your lifestyle. You don't have to go out and do something. It's part of your lifestyle.
Okay.
So combination and integrating that into your lifestyle, this particular two things that you do together is what makes the difference.
Okay. And are there going to be any signs that tell you that this is working, this combination?
You know, the best sign, somebody told me the other day, my co-founder Nishant keeps talking about, and he's absolutely right in this, that one of the best ways to understand this is to look at yourself in the mirror.
Okay.
It'll show. It will show. There's another sign. If you stop asking yourself, am I happy? Or if you find yourself reducing to ask, the number of instances when you ask yourself, am I happy? That's a good sign.
Okay.
That's a good sign. Well. Because it means that, see, very often, you know, these questions, you don't want there is no answer to the question. The fact that you have the question is the signal of the problem. So when the question goes away, is when the problem gets solved, not the answer to the question.
Okay.
Question goes away is when you get the solution to this thing. And so sometimes that becomes a very interesting thing. I've seen it in myself.
Okay.
That one of the things is that you're not into these existential questions that much, because the engagement with life is so complete that you don't need to ask yourself these kind of questions, and you are just much more, you know, in a Western context, there is a phrase called in the flow. You'll be much more in the flow.
Okay.
And very often you recognize this when you look backwards a little bit. You don't recognize at the time it's starting to happen to you. This thing, and so you should trust the thing, and you should let it happen to you, and you should not force it. You know, it's like meditation, right? If you try to do meditation, it's like sleeping. If you try to sleep, you will not sleep, right? The best way to not sleep is to, you have to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Right? And the best way to fall asleep is do other stuff. You know, go for a swim for 45 minutes in the sea here, there is nothing on earth that can keep you awake after that. You will sleep, right? It's as simple as that. So things like that. So I think we should not force ourselves. We should allow ourselves to go into this, and then we will see this over time that, you know, we find ourselves, occasionally you will suddenly realize, oh, this is very different from where I was some time ago. And it's a wonderful thing. Don't look for it. If you're constantly looking for it, it will not happen. It's like I keep, you know, giving the example of, now today people have Apple watches, and they're looking at how many steps they take in a day and so on and so forth. It's the most idiotic way to understand whether you are an active human being or not. I'll tell you why. When you take a step, if you are counting, you will not take the step, you will count the step in your head. So what happens? The actual experience of the step is lost.
Yeah.
So there is a, when you put the leg, no, there is a, it'll be hot, it'll be this thing, you will feel something.
Yeah.
You're not aware of any of that because because it's become intellectual and you have abstracted it to this thing of saying, I am on my 832nd step.
Yeah.
It's a foolish thing. So like that. So you have to allow this thing to play out and experience it and then not try to measure it. And if you don't try to measure it,
That's a very, very interesting way on how you put it, comparing it to sleep and just being. I think you also mentioned joy is also being in a state. So this is in some sense falling into that state.
Yeah, exactly. It's a state. It's a state point. Yeah.
I would also like to unpack a little bit about what you said regarding the innate qualities and how we use Indic knowledge to discover a person's innate qualities.
Right.
If you could just...
Right. Yeah. No, that's been a huge area of effort for us. You know why? Because the Indic system has got so much riches that you have to within that figure out which way will you actually go. So, in the so many streams of knowledge, in most streams of knowledge that relate to the human being, in the Indic system, there will be one particular approach to identify the innate qualities of a human being.
Okay.
So that's there in many, many systems. We have picked three. And after evaluating many, largely evaluating them for the relevance to a modern context. That's how we... So we arrived at three. One is what we call elemental composition. Saying every human being, according to the Indic system, is a combination of elements, base elements. Or what are the elements? Earth, fire, water, and all of that kind of stuff. So there are five elements, and we are all, each human being is a unique combination of that. 12% of this and 32% of, you know, whatever, the unique combination of that.
Okay.
So the profile of our elemental composition tends to take us to one particular type of set of qualities.
Okay.
Right? So, elemental composition is a very good place for us to... And this knowledge exists, which has been observed and, you know, by observation over thousands of years, saying that for this kind of combination of elements, as we understand this human being, this is the likely kind of qualities that this person is likely to have. It's not produced out of thin air. It's out of observation over thousands and thousands of years.
Okay.
Very close observation. And then people have arrived at some rules based on that observation. You know, it's in that sense not unlike currently the work, great stuff that is going on in AI, where the AI engines are learning on lots of data and then forming its own worldview.
Yeah.
So this is a similar thing, but thousands of years it took, right? So it's a fascinating thing. So this is so elemental composition is one. There are two other ways. The second way is what we call energy flows based. So according to our system, the Indic system, every human being, in fact, not just human being, every being is basically a profile of energy flows. Our body and our mind and everything is just energy flowing.
Okay.
You know, interestingly, it completely mirrors the latest of science, right? Quantum physics basically says that, you know, energy and matter and all of that stuff, and all of us are energy. So there's a principle that we have a lot of these energy flows, and there are structured paths of energy flow. And there are some places where these energy flows intersect.
Okay.
And for people who have done yoga at a slightly higher level, etc., they will know what that is.
Mm.
The place where the energy flows intersect are called chakras.
Mm.
And we know that our body and our system has a bunch of chakras. So there are some dominant chakras. So once again, the profile of our chakras, of the nature of our energy flows, can be connected back to the likelihood of these kind of qualities being there. So given this profile, you're likely to have this kind of qualities. Given another profile, you're likely to have. Again, coming from observation over what is called empiricism in modern science. It's observation over careful observation and understanding over long periods of time. Remember, this observation starts from a time when there was no written word.
Hmm.
And in the early days, in the thousands of years before the written word, this was all orally told to people. And, you know, and this knowledge has been kept alive and so on and so forth. Extraordinary stuff. So second is this thing of energy flows and arriving at that. So that's the second one. The third one is an approach called cosmic influence.
Okay.
You know, we know that our life is influenced by the heavens, right? We know this. every moon cycle, we know we are affected. So we definitely know this, right? And then, and so on and so forth. Now, we know some of them, but instinctively, we know that the cosmos is so much bigger that it's likely that we are influenced by so many things, by the moon and Mars and Saturn and so many things. So, that has become a very, over thousands of years, that has become a science in the Indic system.
Okay.
The structure of cosmology at the moment that you were born has a dramatic influence on the innate qualities that you carry. It's not the only influence, but it's got a dramatic impact on the innate qualities that you carry. Once again, a science that's come out of observation. So now we have three methods. Elemental composition, energy flows, and cosmic influence. So we actually go through a process and we work with experts in each of these fields who have been experts by multiple generations, lineage.
Okay.
For each client that we get, we pass them through these three processes. And we arrive at saying, okay, according to this, what are your innate qualities? According to the second, what are your innate qualities? According to cosmic influence, what are your innate qualities? And then we have a very interesting process of bringing all these experts together and saying, let's look at it together, because it might be different.
Yeah.
And then let's understand really, truly, what do we believe this person's innate qualities are? So it's a very elaborate, powerful, knowledge-based, science-based method that has stood the test of time that we apply.
Yeah.
But we apply it in a very modern context. We use modern methodologies. We everything from Zoom calls to, the latest in AI, because we use a lot of AI tools to analyze this, to all of that together is how we arrive at that answer.
Okay.
So at the end of that, the system now knows this is likely to be the top 3, 4, 5 of your truly innate qualities.
Yeah, I think the three practices that you mentioned are so powerful in itself.
Right.
But they generally work in silos. Science. And it's great to have all three of them together too.
Correct. In the early days when we put these experts together, it was very difficult because they're not used to talking to each other.
Different, yeah.
You know, it's completely different. But as they started talking, they realized that these knowledge systems also arise from some common truths of the knowledge, right?
So, and they're integrated.
And that they're now all truly getting integrated. And so our effort of trying to make this thing relevant for a modern world, and this I'm very proud of, is actually now going back and helping growth of the underlying knowledge itself. Because now all these siloed, separate people are coming together of the ancient knowledge, looking at it together. I'm almost tempted to say a whole new type of knowledge is emerging even in the Indic system because of this work that we are doing.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful to see.
That's phenomenal. I would also like to understand a little bit about the practices that are recommended in the well-being blueprint. Because
right.
I understand that a lot of these practices are Indic practices. So right. Is that going to be accessible to somebody who lives in any part of the world?
Right. So what we identify at the end of it is what we call a program. And a program are a set of things that we recommend you bring into your lifestyle.
Okay.
What are those? Some are practices, as you said. Some are practices, but not everything is a practice. Some are what we call insights. Just how you see the world. So you want to learn something because it alters some part of how you see the world. So that's called insights. Some are products. Just certain products that we want you to integrate into your life because it has a specific relevance in the path that we are setting out for you. And the last are retreats or experiences where you go away for some time for a particular intense experience.
Okay.
Which we believe sometimes it's a combination of things. It might be an insight retreat, it might be a practicing, it might be all of that. Depends on the situation. So we offer a combination of practices, insights, products, and retreats. And so it's not just practices, it's all of that. Now, what we offer in all of this comes from first, our understanding of which qualities need to be flourished. So it doesn't come from just something. There is a central idea that you are trying to do. Like, I must flourish these qualities. So there is a method. Many of the things that we suggest come from the Indic tradition. But the Indic tradition actually says that the knowledge is what is important, not the practice itself.
Okay.
So for example, if we say, you know what, you have to develop a personal sense of beauty. And we recommend you use art for it.
Okay.
It does not mean that the art that you must bring into your life has to necessarily be an ancient Indian art or a classical art or today's art. No, there can be many other ways in which you can explore the world of art.
Okay.
And then bring that into your life. So there are in some cases where the Indic tradition is probably the right place to go.
Hmm.
But there are some in which there is a broader buffet of options available to look at. And so we don't approach it with any blinkers. We approach it with the sanctity of the knowledge.
Hmm.
So knowledge says this is what you should get. Do we have options? What kind of options allow us to do that? And whatever are the range of options available, we encourage people to go. And we encourage, and there's another idea I will tell you. We encourage people to go to those options that within the range of options that are available, we encourage you to gravitate towards those options that feel right for you.
Okay.
In the Indic system, there is a concept called Ishta. Ishta is a, in the normal in Malayalam or Tamil or Sanskrit or whatever, Ishta simply means something you like. You know, that's how we work, at a vernacular, that's how we use it. But it's actually a slightly technical term in the Indic system. Ishta means that which connects with you at a very deep level.
Okay.
You know, you vibe with it.
It's intuition.
It's intuitively something that... So when you look at a range of options that we give you and one strikes you, it jumps at you, go there.
Okay.
Go there. And what does not, don't go there. You know, and so... and so that's the overlay that, you know, that the system is that. So you look at options and if what strikes you is to do ballet, so be it.
Okay.
You know, this, you know, so...
And I also like what you said earlier about a change of state, because sometimes like with habits or something that we do over a short term,
right,
we do something and then sometimes we go back on it. So here, how does this create impact? And I understand that once you move forward, there's no going back from the practices that...
Yeah. So I, so that's an excellent question, because, and that's why this is structured the way it's structured. So we don't see this as a one-off thing. We look at it as a long-term association in which we support you as you gradually tweak your life. And this is a, at the end of the day, no, this is not a finite objective. We are always evolving for a better place, and wherever that journey takes you, we are available to support.
Okay.
Because we are aware of this, that, you know, normally what happens, oh, here is a 7-day seminar on this. If you're lucky, if that goes so deep inside that it actually continues with your life, it's extraordinary. But very often it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so the support that you need to make this thing become a part of your life is where we are focused.
Okay.
Not just telling you, but to actually gradually help you find this into your, work this into your life. So we recognize that none of what we say is either a magic bullet nor an instant change, which is very different from what everybody else is promising out there, right? Everybody says, do this and you're sorted. Magic bullet.
30 days, yeah.
First is magic bullet. Do this, you know, whatever it is, wear the shoe and everything is okay in your life. No. The other is 30 days and everything is sorted. No. Nothing is a magic bullet. You have to do an experiment and find the right thing for you gradually, and it takes time. And for people who have gone through and seen all these magic bullets and all these instant cures and know that that's not what they're looking for, the answer lies in this ancient system, which we now have a structure to be able to bring to.